Welcome back. This is Category 5 Technology TV. Back at the end of December, at NuttyPro69 on Twitter sent us a message and said, at Category 5 TV.
Linspire was the very first Linux operating system I tried because of you guys back in the day. And today it is free from pc-opensystems.com.
Whoa.
That's nutty.
Hold on. Wait. Yeah. Are you nutty? Linspire's been gone for 10 years now, my friend. So,
it's been that long?
Yeah, 10 years. 2007. So 11 years. What?
I do miss it. Oh, you opened me up to Linspire.
Linspire was a great distro that was set up in such a way that it was built for the desktop.
Yes.
It's Linux, but it was built to help people migrate from Microsoft Windows to the Linux platform.
And it was so good.
Oh, it was very, very good, especially for the time. Now, here's the thing. I warned the nutty one and said, you got to be careful because anyone who's claiming that Linspire is available for free right now, this is an old distro that was discontinued.
Yeah, and it was commercial.
And so it was a commercial distro,
shouldn't
too.
Have been free.
Mm-hmm. Right. So then I started looking into it, and guess what?
What? Tell us.
PC Open Systems LLC purchased the source code of Linspire. They purchased the trademarks of Linspire.
So everything.
Including not just Linspire, but also FreeSpire, which is the free open source version of Linspire, being the commercial distro.
Right.
We're going to learn all about it tonight. Here's the thing. Linspire, as we mentioned, was always like the best desktop OS way back in the early days.
Yes. So,
like we're talking 2001.
Yeah.
And
for Linux.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It started out as Windows OS.
Yes.
And then, like, 12 months later, Microsoft got word of this and sued them.
Yes.
Because it rhymes.
Just like they did with that Micro guy.
Because it rhymes. Yeah. So they had to change their name, and it became Linspire. But Windows, Linspire, they're synonymous. They're one and the same. But here's one of the things that really was a big deal about Linspire and Windows in particular, is that it was the first Linux operating system to find retail distribution.
Yes.
Right.
We're talking Walmart and Sears. And, like, you could walk into a big box store and for $199, pick up a computer that has Linux on it, and it was Windows OS.
Very I remember cool. that.
Those were the days.
So. I'm fairly certain I bought mine from Future Shop.
Really?
When they were around for $50.
Wow. Can you?
Because I have. Okay, so last week I said I had the disc.
Yeah, right. Where is it?
I don't have the disc.
No.
I was cleaning out my drawer. Turns out I tossed the disc.
No.
But I have the case.
You
Didn't
have the
it
case.
Spark joy, though?
It did spark joy, but I...
You thought we would never need it.
Well, exactly. I thought, hey, it's obsolete. It's not used anymore. What's the point of having it?
Right.
Little did I know, 2 weeks later, I'd need it for like wonderfully topical nostalgia purposes.
Well, and if you want some nostalgia, go back to episode number 303, because I found an old laptop in my storage area that had Linspire 5 installed on it. So check that out. Episode number 303. Now, 10 years ago, the final version of Linspire came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the company was it was dissolved.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It went under. Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes' time with someone in the know. But out of the blue, back on January 2nd of this year, that's when we got the announcement officially. So we saw that they were giving it away for free at the end of December. But officially, January 2nd of this year, it was announced that they had purchased the trademarks and the source code. And it's time to bring Linspire back from the grave. So would you help me welcome Roberto J. Donnert? He is the lead consultant and system designer for PC Open Systems LLC. It's important to note that Linspire is now owned by a completely different company. So can you introduce us, please, to your company and how it differs from, say, Linspire?
Okay. Well, my company is PC Open Systems. We not only do software development, we also do hardware development. What I mean by hardware development is that, like with our software, we have a custom ISO project where we take completely bare system, install whatever programs you need and whatever drivers you need in the system. The hardware side is the same way. Pretty much, you tell us what you need when it comes to hardware. We build it for you, or we take a generic system and add those components, and then we ship it out to you.
So what's and your so, what's your experience as far as Linux distributions go?
Oh, I go all the way back to Gentoo. I started actually developing Linux distributions back in 2006. I started with a Gentoo base. And I started with an operating system. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's called PCOS. Pretty much it was just the initials of the company. And basically what it was to give our customers a long-term supported distribution on Linux that they could use. And that, because back then, I don't know if you remember, but the lifespan of the distro was only like 6 months.
Right. And if you're using Gentoo, you don't want to have to reinstall every 6 months. Let me tell you that.
Right, exactly. And so back then, the lifespan was only like 6 months. And corporations, they had a hard time adopting it, especially on their desktops, because they want something that will last years, not just months.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the main problems that we had with it. So we went ahead and went that approach. We made Gentoo to where we would update it, we would distribute it, but we would go through all the hard work of having to apply updates, patches, drivers, etc.
So you've been distributing your own Linux distribution since as far back as that? Wow.
Yep.
So why now here in 2018 are we all of a sudden hearing that you've bought Linspire of all things?
Well, we bought Zandros. We bought the entire thing from Bridgeways. I don't know if you know what Bridgeways was.
Weren't they like they hold the trademarks and things like that?
Right, and what they did was that they also produced some connectivity products for Windows.
Okay.
Anyway, they were going down the way of the Dodo. So we went ahead and talked to them, got the trademarks and everything, got some other property from them. And what we were doing was Black Lab, and I wanted to really see that form as a community, the distribution. And I wanted to see that thrive with the community. Because one of the things is that if you have a community edition, then you have the commercial edition. What happens is sometimes the commercial aspect of it gets in the way. And the community really doesn't want to actually get involved in it because they feel, hey, it's a commercial interest, not a community interest.
Right.
And so what we decided was we needed to go ahead and find a way to break away Black Lab from the community edition. And
Black Lab being your distribution that you were currently distributing?
Right.
Okay.
And we figured we needed to go ahead and find a way to keep that into the community and find another way to keep our commercial interests separate from it.
Hmm.
And so this way it doesn't pollute the waters, as some people
sure.
would normally say.
So when you speak about the differentiation between the community edition and the commercial edition, are we talking FreeSpire versus Linspire here, or?
Well, Black Lab was always a server type distribution.
Yes. Yeah.
And what happened was I wanted to start back to doing the desktops. So
okay.
That's the reason why we have FreeSpire as well. FreeSpire's
right.
Free desktop OS.
Right.
And I don't know if you've read our marketing and things like that, but I know I sent you an ISO of Linspire.
Yeah, and we're going to take a look at that in a few minutes' time, but and it's all very sudden. I mean, this is a big announcement all of a sudden that, you know, surprise, Linspire's back, and it's taken a lot of people, you know, by storm, especially those of us who used it back in the day. Now, when Linspire shut down, however, you know, we can talk about all the great things that Lindows and Linspire did, but of course, when they shut down, there was a lot of controversy surrounding the company. Like, Michael Robertson was suing the bank, he was suing the staff who created the very OS, free open source software advocates were condemning Linspire for being kind of against the FOSS mindset. So
you have to understand, and you must be very aware, more so than even myself, of the kind of controversy that you have bought into with the Linspire brand, in that all of a sudden you're bringing back to light not just a great distro, but all of the controversy that surrounded that distro. So how do you, with this new version, understanding that this Linspire is a new Linspire based on the old one, brought out by a new company, how are we going to address those kinds of concerns from the community and all the kind of negativity that surrounded Linspire Inc. back in the day?
Well, if you look at FreeSpire right now, FreeSpire, basically what we did, we removed all the proprietary codecs. We have some proprietary drivers in there, but they're mostly for the hardware that they need to support, that people wanted to support.
Yeah.
And so what we want to do is create, on FreeSpire, have something that the FOSS people can use, as well as just any generic computer user can use. And so, and we want to educate the public, especially not the FOSS public, the people that just computer users in general, about that free and open source software, pure free and open source software, can actually thrive and is usable. Because right now, if you look at the landscape, people say with FOSS, the distributions out here that like are GNU certified.
I'm sorry, right. Yes,
if you look at those, a lot of people have this thing in their head that they're very hard to use, and that they're no good.
If they're free, you mean, without the proprietary codecs and all that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what we wanted to do was go ahead and reintroduce FreeSpire as something that the FOSS community can get behind, something any computer user can get behind.
So just
now, one thing, I don't know if you remember this, but Linspire Incorporated used to actually, it was $45 or $49 a year. Right. That was non-negotiable.
Click and run access and all that stuff, yeah.
Right.
Can I just back up just a little bit for those viewers who are watching here, Roberto, that maybe are not familiar with free open source, and what's the difference between free versus, because when we think free, we think about something that's given out. That's
free
one thing.
Right.
But if when we talk free open source software like FreeSpire and removal of proprietary codecs, what we're talking about is things like MP3. The ability to play MP3 files is a proprietary thing. So this is something that a patent has to be paid for in order to do legitimately. So Linspire was, you know, you would pay for that distro and it would come with all this great stuff available built into that, where the free open source versions of Linux would not include those things because they are proprietary. So I kind of felt like at the time, so we're going back to, you know, 2006, I think, in around there when FreeSpire came out, I believe it was around there. It kind of felt like Linspire Inc. was reacting to the open source community's condemnation of the commerciality of Linspire by bringing out FreeSpire. I mean, somebody else actually brought out the first FreeSpire version, which was a stripped-down version of Linspire. So I'm getting the impression from our conversation here, and I would love to hear your perspective on this, but getting the impression that that your company, on the other hand, has more of a community-centric focus with the commerciality aspect as well for the commercial customers. And Ubuntu has taken a similar route, Canonical, with distributing the OS for free and then having commercial support, whereas you're talking about having a free version available and then having a commercial version for the commercial user. Am I right in that, you know, from just hearing you speak, I'm feeling like there's more of a community focus here.
Right, there's more of a community focus. We've always been focused on the community. And with Linspire, of course, it's a totally different product here, okay? That's a commercial product. Okay,
yes,
that has always
is that because of codecs and drivers and things like that, or are there other proprietary things?
Right, and things that we actually have to pay for
in
order to be able to distribute them.
Right.
See, like somebody came to me the other day in an email and was like, well, I can go to the Ubuntu repositories and install the codecs. Well, the thing is with those licenses that Ubuntu has are single use only, which means you have to go download them because only you can use them. But if you pull them down and recreate and re-spin Ubuntu and try to distribute it, then the issue that you run into is licensing. And okay. Right now, I think a lot of people get away with it because they're not a corporation. They're not
right
a business.
And okay. There's no police coming to your door saying, have you got MP3 codecs installed?
Right.
Doesn't exactly. happen. Yeah.
Whereas, you know, where PC Open Systems, Canonical, Red Hat, Novell, SUSE, or Micro Focus, or whatever owns it now, okay, yeah, we're targets, and we pretty much are. Like, mm-hmm. We had to be very careful in what we distribute because, as an entity, we're more likely of a target.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I could see like a corporate environment with 150 computers needing to deploy Linux. If they had to install a free open source version of Linux and then install all the codecs and things, now it could be done through package management and maybe a script right. and things like that. But what you're doing is offering something that it's out of the box, ready to go. It's got the commercial aspects already built in, and exactly. we would expect other advantages as well. Is there a real, you know, is there any other differentiation between FreeSpire and LinSpire that, you know, free downloaders would need to know about? Like, if I can install the codecs myself on my own personal computer, I'm okay with that.
Right.
What else is different about it?
Well, also we also include Wine and LinSpire. We don't include yep. FreeSpire, and we also include advanced security measures like antivirus, intrusion detection,
yep.
and things like that. We also include that, and VirtualBox comes pre-installed as well.
Okay.
Now, one thing that I'm trying to do, and some people in the Linux community are going to hate me for it, is I'm actually trying to work with CodeWeavers to see if I can get Crossover Office that we can actually put into our own repository so users can get that. I'm going to say for you guys, it's going to be free of charge. For us, you know, obviously it's going to cost some, but also I'm trying to work out an agreement with some other entities for commercial operating systems to actually... that you can actually install onto LinSpire through
nice.
VMs,
okay.
through VirtualBox, and also be supported that way.
Nice. So again, for those who are not really familiar with these terms, CodeWeavers, Wine, and VirtualBox, similar reason for having those things. CodeWeavers and Wine are kind of connected in a way that they use the same software base, but they allow you to install Windows programs on a Linux operating system. So that's key here. Yeah. So we're talking about having a commercial version of Linux that out of the box supports that and is licensed for that.
Right, exactly.
VirtualBox, on the other hand, allows you to install Windows into Linux, which
right.
is a great thing as well if you want to be able to say you can't get it to run in Wine.
Right.
So that's
I
cool.
don't want to go as far as RoboLinux. I don't know if you ever heard of that, where you have different VMs for each individual application.
Oh,
that,
yes. That could be brutal from a user standpoint, for sure. So this is definitely much more user-friendly for the novice user.
Right.
And I like this, Roberto, because I feel like I'm personally getting a better understanding of why you have to sell LinSpire
right.
and how it differs from FreeSpire. So me as a personal user with Linux experience, I can install FreeSpire and I can install all these things. I can get CodeWeavers and VirtualBox and I can accept the user terms, and that's
right.
between me and Oracle and me and CodeWeavers
right.
for me to accept those licensing agreements. But
exactly.
with LinSpire, you have included the acceptance of these license agreements, the payment to them for the proprietary use of their software, and now I've got something that if I'm not a Linux user, if I don't know how to set that stuff up, hey,
right.
pay the little bit extra and get a version that's already set up for me. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at some of the controversy surrounding LinSpire, here's one for you. LinSpire was always running as the root user. Are we still going to have a desktop that is running as the root user or out of the
no.
box? Thank you.
No.
All right.
And that was one of the questions I've had a lot, too. Is,
yep.
you know, and also, I want to make something clear, too. A lot of your users have asked me if I plan to redistribute the classic ISOs, the classic versions. And we thought about that. We really did. But pretty much they're useless right now.
Yeah.
You know, click and run doesn't old work stuff. On there anymore. And there's really no point in redistributing the classic ISOs except for maybe nostalgia reasons.
Sure. You know what I would like to see?
That would be a support nightmare.
Yes. I don't care about the ISOs. I don't care about the disks as far as the software that's on them. But I would love to get my hands on one of the old Lindos box sets, because they had retail distribution, and I can't for the life of me find that box, because as soon as you made this announcement, we all went to our garages and looked for the old boxes, and unfortunately, they've all been recycled. Jeff, one of our hosts here, has the case itself for Linspire and Lindos, but has recycled the discs and the box itself. So those kinds of things, for nostalgia purposes, are there. So did you get access to the original source code during the acquisition?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we're looking at, this is officially really Lindos, Linspire. And how has it changed with the release of Linspire 7 this month?
Pretty much what we did was we changed the base from Debian back to Ubuntu.
Okay.
Okay. Right now it's on Ubuntu 16.04.3. We do have some driver changes and everything that you don't get from Ubuntu. And so, and like you said, we removed the whole root user thing because we actually thought about that. And there was a reason why they did that before. Before they did that, because Windows was doing that. Okay. And they wanted their software to be as much like Windows as possible. They wanted people to have the same kind of interaction. And we looked at that, and I was like, well, that's crazy these days. So, and, you know, I had some people tell me, well, it's not the same. Well, it's not meant to be the same. You know,
no.
I mean, of course, we're going to make improvements. We're going to make changes.
Sure.
And we're going to keep going to make these changes into this distribution.
Yeah, we certainly, and, we don't need a one-to-one Windows alternative here. Right. What I think is important, and what I think Lindos really hit on back in 2001, 2003, was that we need, and there are other distros out there that are doing a fair job of this, but Lindos and Zandros were always at the forefront back in the day. We need something that's a good alternative and easy to migrate over to Linux. Lindos was my first Linux operating system where I could remove Windows completely from my system and switch to Linux. So that's what I think what's exciting about that. You started talking about CNR, click and run. Is that still something that's available on Linspire?
No, what we did was we just basically put in the GNOME Software Center. Because pretty much anything's click and run these days.
Right.
You don't need to have a special infrastructure for doing this, except for the fact that we are going to add some commercial repositories to Linspire.
Okay. That's a good call. I think that's a good call. Click and Run was their proprietary front end for, I guess, apt, the installation of packages, right? It was brilliant, but now we've got AppImage, for example, which is doing a very similar thing to what Click and Run did, which was give you a packaged software that you could just install by clicking on it, just like an EXE, like a setup.exe in Windows or an MSI file. That's what Click and Run did. But through package management, we can do the same. Through app image, we can do the same nowadays. So lots changed. So I think that's a good call to deprecate that for sure.
Yeah. And then we also have support for snap packages in there
as
well. So people who want to do, have to use snap packages, we also do support snap packages. And for Linspire HPC, which is a high-performance computing desktop, we also have support for some Unix applications, as well as more Fedora and Red Hat-based software.
Like the installers themselves?
RPM and things like that.
So you don't have to use Alien anymore?
Right.
Okay, so we don't have to convert to DevPax.
That's
cool.
On HPC, though. That's not on the regular Linspire.
This is a different distro of the new Linspire?
Right.
Okay.
Linspire HPC, which is our high-performance computing. It's for high-performance desktops.
Right.
It's not something like you would use, for example, for researchers.
Yeah.
Things like that.
It'll be neat to get familiar with your product line as it grows. I mean, this is, again, a very new announcement, a very fresh announcement coming out of your company. So, you know,
Surprisingly, we've been working on this thing for over a year.
You have been, but we're just like, what?
Yeah.
Linspire's back? Like, the internet is abuzz. Absolutely. So, with your community focus
We had to keep it very quiet.
Oh, no doubt.
The thing is that we had a lot of betas that came out between them. We had betas throughout the year, And we had to make sure, we had to tell people, look, you can't distribute this.
Yeah, okay, well, make sure you get me on your list, okay?
Okay.
We'll keep it on the down low. With your community focus, Roberto, how is Linspire? I mean, FreeSpire is the obvious answer, but take it one step further. How is Linspire going to give back? And this goes back to how Linspire Inc. did things wrong. How are you going to give back to open source?
Well, the thing that we're going to do is all our kernel changes and everything are going to go back into the community, of course. Anything we change in the kernel, anything we change in the software itself, we will absolutely contribute that back to the communities at large, such as XFCE, which our desktop is based off, mm-hmm. the kernel.org guys, and things of that nature. And also another thing, too, is that another thing that we're doing is that, yes, you have to pay a subscription license for a year. Okay, and but unlike what Linspire did, where they charge $49.99 a year, that was mandatory. For us, it's not. You pay it one time.
That's your support contract?
Right. If after a year you decide you don't want support or you don't need support, mm-hmm. we don't cut off access, any kind of update, any kind of software.
Okay.
The software center will still run and everything. But the thing is, if you don't pay the support contract, what happens is, like, when 8.0 comes out, you won't get that. But you'll be supported. You'll get all the back ports and all the updates.
So you have support for your currently installed version, but just right. not the roll up to the next, which makes sense in light of the fact that we're understanding now that this is for commercial use and in a business environment where, you know, you're paying licensing fees and you're paying for proprietary stuff. I'm a software salesperson myself, professionally, and I understand that, you know, there are fees associated with things moving forward. So from a FreeSpire perspective, on the other hand, so looking at the community edition, the one that I might install on my home computer for free, is there support provided for that?
Yeah, for $29.99 for a year, We will actually support that, because believe it or not, there are some companies that want to run the free version.
Okay.
They don't care. They don't care about the proprietary codecs. They don't care about the proprietary software.
Right.
You know, so that was one thing that we looked at too. And, you know, some people were like, well, what do we have to do to get support for a year for FreeSpire itself? Mm-hmm. And so we decided on $29.99 for that one, because it's much less to support.
Sure, yeah. So for a home user or a business that wants to just use a basic install or whatever, it makes sense. So we'd encourage comments below. I think we've really touched on a few points tonight that help us to understand, first of all, how Linspire 7 and forward is going to be different from the old Linspire. I certainly get a different, let's say, aura from you, Roberto, than I do from your predecessor, Roberts.
Yeah.
Robertson.
Yeah. He is a character.
Yeah, definitely a character. So the old founder of Linspire certainly had a very different business model, very different mindset. And so, you know, but amazing software and a really good grasp on what users really need in order to make the transition from Windows to Linux. So this could be a real answer to that.
Yeah, and sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Sorry.
Back when he was running, especially towards the latter years, back when it felt like it was going to shut down.
Yeah.
Because I had a feeling in 2006, after seeing what they were doing, and that they were trying to make Click and Run available for everybody, it kind of felt like to me they were looking for a way out.
Yeah.
And then some of the stuff that they were doing at the time just made no sense to me. And then the whole controversy with Kevin came up and with Michael, and it just turned into a free crap storm. And
it really did.
It was sad the way it ended.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. And that's where that my initial question came out. Like, this is the controversy that you've bought into, my friend. So I'm eager, you know, maybe this is step one of this interview of, you know, the community understanding the difference here. And I really hope that we've established that tonight. So really looking forward to all that you've got to come. How can we obtain a copy of FreeSpire or Linspire at this point?
With Linspire, you can go to www.pc-opensystems.com and you can go to our web store. or to the Linspire OS link in the top bar, and you can go ahead and purchase a copy from there. FreeSpire, you go through our Open Source Labs page, which is on that same page, that same URL. Go through Open Source Labs and go down to FreeSpire, and you can actually download FreeSpire right there. Or if you need that support, you can actually purchase it there as well.
Cool.
But you can you're free to download it, free to redistribute, free to give it away as many times as you want.
You heard it here, folks. Any hope of getting the .coms?
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that was set up. This is part of the crap storm we were talking about.
Yeah.
Michael purchased freespire.org because of the issue that he was having with Kevin at the time.
But didn't Kevin do that? Wasn't it
Kevin? Kevin bought freespire.com, which is then.
Oh, .com. Oh, okay. Because I know Michael was trying to get freespire.com from him.
Right. They had freespire.org. And that was part of his trademark lawsuit that he had with Kevin.
Yeah.
Was that he wanted to prove that he had a product called FreeSpire, even though he had already sold it to Zandros, which made no sense to me. He had already sold the damn thing.
Well, because FreeSpire.com was set up specifically to speak on Michael Robertson's business practices.
Right, exactly.
It was a bit of a political crapshoot, as you say.
Right. Alleged.
Yes.
We have to say alleged.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Alleged.
Because when I was talking about it, I was like, yeah, I better say alleged because otherwise I'll get sued.
Yes, and you do. I guess that's another thing, is you've got to be really careful because you've bought into the Michael Robertson empire, which back in the early days was you know, he was doing some great stuff, but, you know, his business practices and things did not end up well for MP3.com or Linspire Inc. or any of those. So good luck.
But some people said that he started Lindos. And that they felt that he started Lindos as a way as a money grab for Microsoft, because some people say he thought he was going, that he knew he was going to be sued. I actually don't agree, because like I said, I've actually read a lot of the stuff that happened back then from now an insider's view of it, and I really think that, to give him some credit, I think he was really trying to do something great. I don't think it was just a money grab like he had with MP3.com.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a brilliant guy, and he built some really brilliant things. Not to, you know, digress, but I'm sure the questions will come up. But, like, MP3.com is a great example of something that he built from the ground up that was amazing. But then where it all went wrong is the sellout. And the absolute lack of care for his community.
Right.
Where everybody who was a user on MP3.com went, what? I just lost all my files? I just lost, as an artist, I lost my ability to sell my CDs, and now someone else owns it and has turned it into something else. Same thing happened with Linspire, where all the users were left going, what? What happened?
Right. Especially because I've got some email from these lifetime users, the people that bought the lifetime subscription. And they're like, are you guys going to honor that?
Yeah.
And in case you have any of those guys here, we actually did talk about that, and we actually did think about that. And, you know, we're not required to support it. But one thing that we decided was for $59.99, we were going to go ahead and reestablish them as lifetime users to where they can go ahead and get Linspire, and that's for the lifetime of the product.
That's cool.
I mean, now, I felt like we had to do something for these guys because it did seem like they got crapped on.
Yeah, I have no records from back then. Did you obtain a list of lifetime subscribers?
No, we did not.
So if you were a lifetime Lindos Linspire user,
if you were a lifetime subscriber, and you can actually give me an invoice and prove it to me.
That's tough.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Actually, we've had a couple people that have done it.
Wow. Okay.
They kept their subscription.
Well, that's cool.
They kept their invoices and stuff. So they can come to me with an invoice. Then, oh, dude, the stuff that we got from Linspire, and like I said, it was poorly managed towards the end. Mm-hmm. What we got was what Zandros got.
Yeah.
And they just
put it in a box in the back room.
Excuse me?
They just put it in a box in the back room when they acquired it.
Right.
Pretty much. So,
They pretty much we got a bunch of USB keys, and if I think these are like 128 kilobyte US or megabyte USB keys.
Oh wow!
A bunch of files, a box of paperwork, and we're like, this is it.
Wow!
Oh, and some hard drives. Yeah. All the source code and everything to it.
Start making copies. Well, Roberto, I am encouraged by everything that we've heard here tonight. Different company, same great OS, but with major improvements and a community focus. Right. I think we're really on the right track here with Linspire, and I'm excited personally to see what comes of this. So, all the best to you. Thank you for your time, and we'll definitely post a link below. And if you have any questions for Roberto, for myself, if you want to know more about the new Linspire, make sure you visit their website. And is there a direct way that they can contact you on the website, I suppose?
Yes, there is. We have our email addresses on the website, especially mine. I put mine up there front and center.
Community
and also
forum?
To the Linspire page.
Great.
We also have a link to Facebook.
Do you have a community forum at this point?
Not yet. We're in the works of getting that set up.
Great.
But we do have a Facebook page that we allow the community to actually talk, converse, and do everything they
want.
So that's on top of the page, on the Linspire OS page. They can just click like, and they can join in the conversation. And
very
as soon
good.
As we get the forum set up, we'll definitely send you guys a link, and we'll put that up there as well.
Appreciate that. All right, well, thanks for your time, man, and keep up the great work. Really excited about everything that's to come. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to actually take a look at Linspire 7. Stick around.
You've got mad skills. Now, hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative, and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda. Welcome back. This is Category 5 Technology TV. How cool is that?
That was awesome.
We were chatting during the break there and started talking about the whole fact that the URL is getting a little difficult to figure out.
Yes.
Word of mouth is an important thing. So we did a search and found linspirelinux.com. So
Roberto's
just going to set that up and get that up and going. So by the time you watch this, linspirelinux.com, check it out. Okay, ready to take a look at Linspire 7?
Yes.
Again, go back to episode number 303 to see how the old version looked. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Linspire 7. This is a fresh, clean install. And as we learned there during the interview, this has got some commercial components. I see, first and foremost, Google Chrome. Nice. Not a commercial application. You don't have to pay for it.
Right.
But it is not free open source software. So, but nice that it's there. I wonder then if I can get straight on to things like Netflix and that kind of stuff. Should we give it a try? What kind of things do we want to check out today?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah. All right, so
we should find that people who have data theft me.
Let's find all those people. Destroy them.
That's right.
If I can remember my Netflix password, because I sign in about once every 10 years. There we go. Nice. We've got Peppa Pig on demand.
Look at that.
Nice. All right, so does it work out of the box? Whoops, something went wrong. Okay. So we've done this before where we can... Let's see if I can remember how to do this. But we've done it on the show. DRM. Video. You know what? I'm not even going to... Don't worry. You can make it work in Chrome. Go back to our website and do a search for Netflix Chrome, and you'll be able to get it going.
Right.
Chrome is already pre-installed. I didn't have to go through and set it up. So that's cool. All right. So let's get a look. What do we have? Let's go all. Woo-hoo! So first of all, what do you notice? This looks very much like a Windows operating system.
Very sad. I the nostalgia of seeing these colors is just, it's bringing me back. I'm loving this.
Yeah, this is very similar to the original look and feel.
Yeah.
Now this is my first time loading anything on here. So if
it uses selection of backgrounds.
I like to stylize things. Although I just want to make sure I can put it back. Yeah, there's the Linspire one. Because I don't want to lose the Linspire.
Well, yeah. Oh, look at that.
Nice.
Very smooth.
I like how zippy it is. Sweet.
All right, now, how was the boot on this computer?
Super fast. Super fast. Now, I've got a bit of a more decent computer than I did back in the day of Linspire. But so look at all the stuff that comes with it. And out of the box, it worked just fine. It's got my networking and Wi-Fi. Wow. One of the things that he mentioned was the loss of click and run.
Yes.
But I noticed that the icon is still the same. So let's bring that up and see what that looks like. Welcome to software.
Very ingenious name.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Okay, so one of the things that I'm going to want is the GIMP. GNU Image Manipulation Program. How would I find that?
Oh, look at that. It even shows you what apps are already installed, so you don't even have to... That's nice.
Where do you see that?
Well, like...
Oh, it has a little icon there. Ah, okay, nice.
That is a nice feature.
Sweet. Okay, so graphics. What do we have? We've got Blender. Nice Darktable. We've looked at those on the show. And GIMP, GNU Image Manipulation Program. I like that. Install. Sweet. Enter my password. And as easy as that, looks like she's going. Nice.
That's nice. Okay, so now I'm assuming maybe it's linked to the account that you have created with your software, but you didn't even have
the software installer?
Yeah, you didn't even have to create like account to sign up to get apps or anything. Like it's all part of it.
Yeah, it's part of like Debian repositories and things like that. But notice though that I did have to enter my password.
Yes, for access to install on your computer.
Yes, and so as Roberto had confirmed for us, we are not running as the root user.
Correct.
Sweet. Okay.
Sorry, that did not work.
What? Oh, I haven't got internet turned on this computer. What?
No. Yeah, you did. You were looking at Netflix.
Yeah, I did look at Netflix. Install GIMP image editor failed. Manager followed. App transaction returned result. Exit failed.
Oh. Still, that's smooth.
To be fair, now I am looking at, am I still online? Maybe my internet has gone down because I am on Wi-Fi. Let's just verify. No, it's up. So that's cool. Let's try again. Because I'd hate to give y'all, there's something up there with my connection to that. I don't know why. I don't want to give you a bad impression if I run into little issues here or there because I haven't set anything up or done anything, and I am just... Oh, I do have an Ethernet cable plugged in. That's good. And it's bridged, yeah. Let's try again. So the fact that I'm entering my password means that it's doing this as a non-root user, so it's becoming super user when I run that. I think my internet dropped out there for a moment, and that's why it was...
It could be. It's bad weather outside, so...
And we are, just so you know, if you're watching and you're not familiar with the show, we use LTE internet, so we are susceptible to that kind of thing.
Yep.
All right, so that's going away. What else do we have? Okay, Office Suite. We've got LibreOffice. Yeah. So if I bring up Writer, for example, version 5, nice. They've done away with version 1.1, Jeff.
Yes, which is good.
So that's sweet. Looks just like Microsoft Office, that kind of thing.
See, and as I'm looking at this, I'm going, man, this is going to be so easy for people to migrate.
It's so fast,
into a very simple Linux environment.
Games doesn't really come with much, but you can install those through the software application.
It's pretty standard, though, with Linux.
Yep.
I like that it's got the Skype.
I like not only that, but that I don't see cruft. I don't see a bunch of extra junk.
Right.
I don't see a bunch of, like, you remember on Windows, and I've had this conversation before, on Windows when you installed stuff, you get a bunch of, like, uninstall.
Yeah, that is my biggest complaint about Windows.
I really hate the menus. It's just full of junk, and Windows 10 is just rancid as far as the menus go. You have to know the name of things in order to find
it. Okay, I saw a software updater.
Software updater?
You were flipping through
quickly.
Well,
here, let's try. If I don't know where it was, I can type in. There you go.
Yeah,
software and updates. Software updater.
Yeah, so.
And software.
Is that just would that be for updating the base software on the computer?
It says GIMP is installed. Well, let's take a look.
It's all new to us.
Checking for, look at that.
I'm going to close out of this. It says the GIMP is installed, which there's an interesting blank button, and then launch. So we're seeing a, you know, there are probably some tweaks that they need to do to make everything kind of perfect.
Wow, there's already an update.
Oh, what does it do? All right.
Look at that.
So this is telling me that there's an update for my computer. Okay, that's cool. So again, GUI front end. We've done away with the need for terminal, although it is still there. So if you're a terminal baby, you can bring it up. You can do your stuff.
And it's full service.
There you go. What do you think, Sasha?
It's very nice.
Intuitive, easy to use, super fast. And it's Linspire. It looks and feels very, very much like Linspire of old. But it is XFCE, if you can believe it. From what I understand, this is all XFCE driven.
Really?
Yeah. So, but it looks great. What do y'all think?
I'm excited.
Post your comments below. I think this could be, like, I always love Linspire.
Oh, yeah. Well, just the fact that it's back. I mean, I've got an old laptop at home. I can't wait to put it on to see how it works.
Yeah.
Because it'd be great to add life to an old laptop.
And if you want to just jump, pardon me, if you want to jump right in, just go grab FreeSpire. Mm-hmm. It's free. So give it a go on your system. And you'll be flying.
Nice.
I love it. And that's just out of the box. So only thing I installed was GIMP. Chat room, you want to know how does it look and run? Let's bring it up. It's under graphics. Nice and easy. So this is on this particular laptop. As I mentioned, this is a better laptop than what we had 10 years ago. But it is, it's just got 4 gigs of RAM. And I think I've allocated 2 gigs to the VM. So it's not got smashing specs or anything like that. But as far as responsiveness, like when I move stuff and touch stuff, it feels very, very zippy. Yeah, it's... And there is something to be said for that, I think.
Yes.
When things just feel zippy, when I click on an application, when I move something around on the screen, I don't like there to feel like there's latency there. Mm-hmm. So,
cool.
Very nice. I'm excited. LinspireLinux.com is where you're going to find it.
Good time.
Very
check it out.
Cool. Mm-hmm.